As so often happens, the readings have 16 different themes, and I'm going to try to present several of them, just one after the other, because if we presented all 16, we'd be here till 3 o'clock. First thing, the pairing of that reading from Genesis and this gospel draws out a certain truth in the story of the fall in Genesis, original sin. It draws out one of the many truths that are there, and that's this. Each person in the story is blaming somebody else. Okay? Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. The serpent tricked me. Satan is the great trickster who presents something as good that isn't good. And this is the story of the human race. You know, people don't really choose evil. You know, like they're presented with a clear good and a clear evil, and people just don't say, I'm going to take the evil. The problem is the evil sometimes looks like good, and so you're choosing a good because you think it is. You've been tricked into thinking, either through your own mind or through an outside influence, you're tricked into thinking that that's really the good choice, and it isn't. We are, in many ways, not in control of our own lives. We are not always able on our own to decide what is good, because sometimes it's subtle and it's not clear. And the good guys don't always wear white hats and the bad guys don't always wear black hats. It's not that simple a lot of the time. So we can easily be confused and tricked. And sometimes it's our own fault, and sometimes it's the fault of outside influences. Now, Satan symbolizes the outside influence. In the gospel stories, where you have all these demoniacs, these people possessed by demons, what is that all about? Well, one of the things it's about is it's the New Testament way of symbolizing the entrapment, the tricking of the powers of evil that have been in control of the human race ever since the fall. So sin has multiplied upon sin, generation after generation, all the way down to Jesus, so that the situation just becomes hopeless. You know? Will we ever be free from Rome? Will we ever be free from the Gentiles? Will God's people ever win out? Will good win out over evil? It just seems like it's never going to happen. And that's hopelessness. It's the inability to trust that God is more powerful than evil. In Jesus' day, people had a general notion that the world was in the control of two spirits, a good spirit and an evil spirit, and they were vying for the human race. They were vying for control of the world. And the notion was that they were equal in power. And one of the things that Jesus is saying as he enters into our human nature and begins to fight against the demons, he declares war against the demons. He yells at them and they yell back at him, and he ties them up and plunders their house. He is possessed by the Holy Spirit, and he is here to tell us that the Holy Spirit is more powerful than the evil one. And so this blaspheming against the Holy Spirit that he mentions in the gospel, that's the inability to trust that Jesus, who is casting out the evil, who is more powerful than the evil, is controlled by the Holy Spirit, not some evil spirit. And see, what the scribes are claiming is that he's possessed by a demon himself. That this is not the Holy Spirit that possesses him, but a demon. And Jesus is saying, if you don't trust that God is more powerful than evil, then you can't be saved. Because salvation is being rid of the hopelessness. It's being filled with hope that this salvation history, that this story that we're in, is a comedy, not a tragedy. Comedies end happily ever after. Tragedies end in death. This story we're in is a comedy. God and goodness and grace will out. And that we are in witnesses of that power of God, that Spirit of God in Jesus, tying up the strong man, Satan, and plundering his house. This is the end of Satan's power. His power is over. But you have to believe that. And so many people find that hard to believe. Hard to believe that we can actually be rid of sin. That this story is going to end happily. Because we hear evidence to the contrary all the time, don't we? Just listen to the news. It sounds like there will never be an end to poverty. There will never be an end to war. There will never be an end to injustice and oppression. There will never be an end to abortion. You know, it just goes on, and it just sounds so hopeless. But we Christians who are armed with the gospel and who celebrate this sacrament of God's forgiveness, the Eucharist, over and over again, this sacrament filled with hope, we actually dare to say that this meal that we're going to share in a few minutes is the heavenly banquet. This is the meal of the kingdom. This is the gathering of God's people forever. Now, second point. St. Paul, in that second reading to the Corinthians, suggests that humans are capable of more than just sense perception. We're capable of more than what we can perceive by our bodies, by the five senses. There's something in us of God, of the eternity of God. And so this outer shell that we could call the body is wasting away. By the time you're 30, you're on the downhill slide. I'm sorry. But this inner self that is of God, you know, this is a temple not made by hands. This is the temple that lasts forever. There is an eternity built into our DNA. We are created in God's image. And so there's something more to the human being than a lot of people in our world and in our age think. We are capable of infinity. Water seeks its own level. And if we come from God, we have the capacity to know God. We have the capacity to live with God forever. And so let's get in touch with that interior self that we could call the soul, that is eternal, that comes from God and is going to God, and participate in that divine life. Allow ourselves to be invited into the very life of God. And that's why we're invited to eat and drink of God with our bodies, because our bodies and our soul are one, so that in this physical, sacramental way, we share in God. God comes into us and we go into God, this indwelling of God. And this gets back to the first point again, that the same Spirit that was in Jesus was infused into you and me when we were baptized. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are driven not by the evil spirits of this world, but we are driven by the Holy Spirit. And that makes us brothers and sisters of Christ. That makes us powerful. That makes us warriors against the demons of this world. That gives us the power to tie them up and plunder their house, to in our own lives make an end of Satan's reign. and welcome ourselves into the kingdom of God. Final point. This little gospel story is bookended at the beginning and the end with a little strange story about Jesus' family. In the first part, it says that his family thought he was out of his mind. Even his family was scandalized by his behavior. He took on the demons, and they, even his family, wondered, is he a demon himself? Where does he get this power? He's upsetting the conventions of the day. Everyone is talking about him, and not always in a nice way. And so his family, they're worried about him, okay? Then there's this whole thing with the scribes and the Satan's kingdom divided against itself. And then at the end of the story, we go back to Jesus' family again. And so they're outside the group calling for him. And they want to take him home. You know, come now, Jesus. We know you're nuts. We're going to take you home and protect you, you know. And Jesus is rather abrupt about his own family. He says, he doesn't say, oh, come on in, or I'll go out and meet them. He says, who is my family? Not those people outside wanting me to be put away. It's anyone who hears the word of God and keeps it. And he looks around at the people gathered there. This is my family. This is mother and brother and sister to me. Those who hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, those who are witnesses, hearers of this message, and take it to heart and trust in it and believe in the power of God and believe that I am not filled with some demon. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And that this Spirit and I are one with the Father. And so therefore, Satan's rule is at an end. The demons of this world are no longer in charge. God is in charge. And anyone who doesn't trust that is lost. Anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, anyone who says that this Spirit that's in Jesus is a demon and not the Holy Spirit, well, they're lost. Because if you don't believe God is more powerful than evil, there is no salvation. You're outside. You have lost hope. This is the life of despair. This is the life that believes that this is a tragedy we're in, not a comedy. So it's not that God is saying, oh, I'm so angry about what you said about the Holy Spirit, I'm never going to forgive you. This isn't God saying this. It's me condemning myself to hopelessness, condemning myself to a life that just believes the sour message that this world is spewing out all the time and just gets mired more and more deeply into it and gets lost. So as we celebrate this sacrament of hope once again this morning, let's recall our hope. Let's reawaken that hope in us by eating and drinking of God, by welcoming once again that Spirit into our lives so that we can be filled with the hope that God is calling us to.